This is America Weekend. I'm Paul Harris. Thanks for listening every Saturday and Sunday. Well, here's a story about hold'em and other kinds of poker, as told by Ben Mesrich. Ben's book, Bringing Down the House, became the hit movie 21. His book, The Accidental Billionaires, became the hit movie The Social Network. I have talked to him on the air about those and other books he's written, like Sex on the Moon and Ugly Americans. And now he's back with Straight Flush, the true story of six college friends who dealt their way to a billion-dollar online poker empire and how it all came crashing down. Hi, Ben. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the new book. It is the story of Scott Tom and the guys who founded Absolute Poker, a company that was valued at nearly $1 billion before things went horribly wrong. How did you get involved in this?
As usual, it came, people pitched me. I get emails from pretty much everyone who does something crazy or stupid ever since The Social Network. So I got an email from one of the founders who kind of clued me into the story. And, you know, I was obsessed with the whole poker thing anyways. And as I looked into it, it just seemed really cool. It seemed like a blend of 21 and The Social Network.
Yeah, it's cards and it's online. So there's a combination for you.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. Well, Scott Tom has become kind of a pariah in the poker industry because of Absolute Poker and another subsidiary that they bought called Ultimate Bet, which were both involved in cheating scandals. You actually got to meet the guy and talk to him as he's hiding away in Antigua, right?
Yeah, Scott's basically a fugitive. When it all became illegal and the Department of Justice raided all these online poker sites, he was in Antigua and basically can't set foot off the island. So I met with Scott a lot. He's actually a very hated individual. I mean, there are a lot of people in the poker world who see him as, you know, as a criminal, as a cheater. But I spent a lot of time with him sort of rebuilding the story from his point of view. And I think it's intriguing. I mean, there's a lot of controversy about it. And there was definitely a big cheating scandal. But the overall story is also about how the government went in and took all these guys down.
Yeah, which you include towards the end of the book here. But I'm curious about your relationship with him and if this book is really him trying to say to the poker world, okay, here's the good side of my story. Look, Ben Mesrich wrote a book about me.
Well, definitely people do come to me because they want to get their point of view out there. But I think it's the whole story. You know, Scott was one of the sources. All of the people who were there were the sources. So I met with everyone who was involved in founding the company. And I think it's a warts and all kind of story. I mean, I really feel that none of these people come off as saints, but these were college kids who essentially moved their frat to Costa Rica and built this huge company and then kept going when it got risky. And there's, you know, lots of hookers and drugs and guns and things like that. The cheating scandal is well represented in there. And then it all crashes down and they end up on the run. I think it's a very accurate rendition of what happened. I think people are mad because I didn't focus exactly on the cheating scandal, although it's in there. I never sort of hung Scott as the one who cheated because there wasn't really any hard evidence to that. But I think it's pretty clear what happened there, and those scenes are pretty well crafted.
Yeah, I have some friends. As a poker player myself, I know some young guys who lived every day on Absolute Poker and Poker Stars and Party Poker and various other sites through the years. And, of course, life changed in 2006 with the UIGEA, the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act, and then big time 2 years ago on April 15th, 2011, when Black Friday hit and American players essentially were thrown off online poker and the rest of the world kept playing on some of these sites. And that led to the downfall of a lot of people. And I'm not just talking about the business people, but the players who still had money locked up on Absolute Poker and have not seen a penny of it since then. Will they have a chance, do you think, of getting their money back from what you know about the continuing story?
I think from Absolute Poker, it's very unlikely. People who played on Poker Stars got their money back.
Yeah.
Full Tilt, you know, is still being worked out. Absolute Poker was a tricky situation. They didn't have a lot of cash reserves. They were using all their money to try and stay alive. And when they got shut down, all the payment processors disappeared. These were all these shady banks, you know, in the Caribbean and all over the world, where because it was this prohibition-style economy and it was an illegal business, they were using these overseas, you know, accounts to get the money. So all those people disappeared, and Absolute Poker collapsed. I don't think people are going to get their money back. People were destroyed. And so they look for, you know, people to blame, and I can understand the anger. About $150 million in player money vanished. It's one of those crazy stories where I think the government made a very hypocritical and, to me, wrong move. We're all lining up for Powerball tickets, and yet online poker is illegal. So it's one of those things where it's hard to make sense of.
It drives me crazy. And I was not an online poker enthusiast. I prefer to play live. But it drives me crazy that the government can tell you what to do with your recreation dollars, but only in this way. You want to go play lottery tickets? You want to bet on the horses? You can go do that. If you want to trade cars with people on eBay, you can do that as much as you want. And there's no law about it. But when it came to playing poker online, the government knew better than you what to do with your money. Ridiculous.
It's absurd. I mean, look at something like Ameritrade. You can go on with no knowledge at all and bet your entire retirement account on a stock, on a penny stock, but you can't play poker. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Do you think that the absolute poker guys were more interested in their high-flying lifestyle, which you write about in great detail in here? If I saw the word thigh one more time, Ben, I was going to come to your house and we were going to have a discussion. But do you think that the absolute poker guys were more interested in that high-flying lifestyle after becoming rich on paper than they were in making sure that the games and players' money were secure?
I mean, absolutely, they got caught up in the lifestyle. These were, college age or slightly after college, and suddenly there's $1 million a day of revenue coming into this company. They're in Costa Rica where it's completely lawless, and there's the largest brothel in the world about two blocks from where they live. So, they got caught up in the wildness of it. And the truth is, it was a completely unregulated business. There was no oversight. There was no real board. There was nobody looking over their shoulder. And so certainly there was a lot of management issues. You can't really see what was really going on there. I mean, it was extremely unwritten down, unregulated. So to see where things went wrong, it's very hard to specifically find where it all went wrong. But certainly one of them got caught up in drugs to the point where his eyebrows fell out and he ended up in rehab. Scott was sleeping with a gun under his pillow. They got into some really crazy stuff. And I think that's a big part of the story.
Only Scott and his brother Brent were named in the indictments that were handed down by the Department of Justice. Did the rest of the guys get away, pardon the expression, scot-free with lots of money?
A couple of them won't come back to the United States because they're still afraid of getting picked up and subpoenaed and all that kind of stuff. A couple of them are back in the United States and seem to be okay. Brent took the brunt of it. He ended up turning himself in and is doing 14 months in a federal prison. Brent is a very nice guy. He kind of worshipped his older stepbrother, half-brother. But his name was on everything. His name, because he was in charge of all the payments going through. So he ended up taking the fall and going to jail. I think he's a very sympathetic figure. I don't think he deserved jail time for working at an internet company. It's one of those stories. But yeah, the rest of them are kind of okay.
So has Kevin Spacey started working on a script yet? Is this going to be another movie, Ben?
I hope it will be. There's been a lot of Hollywood interest, and we have a couple of people who want to make it, so we're going to find the right place to make it. Kevin's been a great, first reader and a wonderful source in terms of my Hollywood career, so we'll see. Hopefully Kevin will be.
When you say first reader, does that mean you're sending him galleys?
I send Kevin and Dana, his head of production, when the book, is still in manuscript form. Ever since Bringing Down the House, which he kind of discovered, they've been, people to look at my stuff, yeah.
I love the idea that as you're writing the book, you're getting Kevin Spacey to check it out for you.
The weirder thing is when you're writing it, you're thinking, oh, Kevin's going to be reading this. So it's actually a really interesting phenomenon. But he's a brilliant guy and an incredible actor, so it's been a great source.
And now that he's helped you turn a couple of the movies, the books into movies, when you're writing a book like this one, in the post-social network world, are you thinking to yourself, okay, well, here's who would play that part?
You do. I try not to think of specific actors because I want to tailor a part for them unless they get attached real early on. But I definitely think about it being a movie. I'm thinking about the scenes and how it would look on the screen. I'm a very visual writer, and I've always kind of, sat down and thought of it as a movie as I write it.
Okay. I did get a tweet from a guy named Gutito21 who says, please let Ben know the poker world is in disbelief of the spin he put on the Ultimate Bet Thieves. What do you say to them?
Well, first of all, it's not about the Ultimate Bet Thieves. The Ultimate Bet situation was going on for 7 or 8 years before Scott Tom and his group took over the company. There was a horrible cheating scandal at Ultimate Bet that lasted almost a decade, probably $20 million in it. AP bought Ultimate Bet in 2007 and around 2006, 2007, and they inherited this huge cheating scandal. And a lot of people want to paint them with the same brush as the Ultimate Bet problem.
Yeah, they had their own cheating scandal.
They had a much smaller cheating scandal, which was about $800,000 to $1 million.
And their own problems, too. Ben, I'm all out of time, but I appreciate it, and thanks for the new book. And it's always a pleasure talking with you.
Excellent. Good talking to you, too.
Ben Mesritz. The book is called Straight Flush. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America.